This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. The flood crest on the Red River continues to move north. In the latest data that's available from the National Weather Service, that's showing river levels at Oslo, Minnesota, have crested and are slightly lower than they were yesterday at 36.11 feet. River levels at Drayton continue to rise and are expected to crest sometime Sunday morning at 40.3 feet.
Rain shower activity is expected to decrease tomorrow and Saturday and should be mostly dry through the next week. World Weather Incorporated says the flood crest on the Red River has moved north of Grand Forks and conditions will steadily begin to improve. Colder than normal temperatures will continue through early next week, but should begin warming into the 50s and 60s next Wednesday and Thursday. World Weather says scattered rains are expected in the second week of the outlook, but they are expected to remain light.
Rapid planting progress is expected across the majority of the Corn Belt over the next 10 days. Advanced Trading Commodity Research Analyst Brian Basting expects to see a lot of corn go into the ground.
They're really aggressive this week. It's chilly down here in the heart of the Midwest, but the soil is working pretty good. Producers have moved into the corn now. They actually got a head start on beans. If you look at the planting report on Monday, crop progress report from the USDA, we saw actually 15% of the beans planted in Illinois, unprecedentedly high number for the third week in April. Now they're switching over into corn. Feel like the soil is warming up enough that the high-level risk of any freeze damage is minimal.
China's cancellation of 233,000 tons of old crop corn sales is also pressuring the corn market.
And of course, that was earlier this week, was already over 300,000 tons. So it's over 500,000 tons of corn that's been canceled to China from previous sales. And actually, today's export sales report, I reported a smaller cancellation of 64,000 tons to China.
Grain markets continue to struggle with a lack of fresh bullish news. Bauer trading market analyst Ben Cash says traders seem to be very reluctant to put money into this market.
It's been kind of too early to get really worried about a weather scare for both corn and soybeans. So I think as we've moved the calendar into May, weather's going to, you know, obviously be more important. So we'll have to keep an eye on that extended forecast to see if any threats out there. I've already heard, you know, some of our customers just chatter that some of these areas, you know, we've had rains forecasted, particularly the I states here, and it really hasn't fell. So there's some chatter and some chirping going on about maybe too dry. So that's something to watch as well.
There is still some lingering concern over the economy.
I think the banking sector it needs to be watched. Once again, that's kind of flaring back up, and I think the equity markets are, you know, signaled that earlier this week. When we've seen that pullback, I believe on Wednesday or Tuesday, there a pretty aggressive pullback in equities. So I think that needs to be watched. A lot of the high banking officials have indicated that we've only saw the beginning of this banking crisis. So once again, that is something that obviously we need to keep a close watch on. It will definitely have a major effect on all these markets.
USDA says net beef sales during the week ending April 20th totaled 9,500 metric tons, 50% less than the previous week and 28% below the four-week average. Beef shipments were unchanged from the previous week at 16,000 metric tons. Top destinations are South Korea, Japan, China, Mexico, and Taiwan.
And USDA says net pork sales during the week ending April 20th were a marketing year high of 54,000 tons, 50% more than the previous week and 47% more than the four-week average. Shipments were also a marketing year high at 38,000 metric tons, 11% more than the previous week and 12% more than the four-week average. Top destinations are Mexico, China, South Korea, Japan, and Canada.
Mosaic Senior Technical Sales Manager Sherry Cook is reminding farmers to have their crop nutrition plans in place. Once conditions are fit, the crop can go in the ground quickly.
Growers can put this crop in a short period of time. Matter of fact, they can do much more than what most of the local retailers can do to keep up. And so, you know, just be mindful of field conditions. Doesn't do us good to mud stuff in. So we found, and last year was a prime example of how quickly things can go in, and also that if we have a long fall, that we can have a really good crop, and last year was a great example of that.
Certain nutrients like nitrogen can move with the moisture in the soil profile.
Products like phosphates and potash don't. Where they land, they move an inch or two in that soil profile, but they don't move a lot. So product that was put on last fall, things that are going to be put down with the planter or this spring from the phosphate and the potash side, which is what Mosaic focuses on, it's a great investment because they don't move a lot in the soil. We're not going to lose those nutrients. And so we want to keep in mind with microessentials, we have phosphorus and sulfur, and in some cases zinc as well. And then with Aspire, we also have, it's an enhanced potash that we have potash and boron in every single crystal.
USDA Undersecretary for Conservation Robert Bonney announced the start of the implementation phase for projects under the Climate Smart Commodities today.
Like all our work at USDA on climate, this effort is voluntary, it's incentive-based, it's about working hand-in-hand with farmers, ranchers, and forest owners to demonstrate that American growers and landowners can feed the world, provide the fuel and fiber that society needs, all while we protect the climate. Project partners are now beginning work on formal implementation of the Climate Smart Partnership projects, including deployment of climate smart practices and work to market the climate benefits of agricultural commodities.
Bonney says there are 141 projects across the state. Projects in the Learning Network also kicked off today. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says agriculture hasn't had an easy time the last few years getting products from field to consumers.
You know, I think as everybody knows, the agricultural sector has faced a lot of challenges over the past few years. We've grappled with rising input prices, high global demand, supply chain disruptions, and uncertainty about the future. We also know this uncertainty is complicated by a changing climate. In times of challenge, there's also often a window of opportunity. And over the next few years, the world will lean on U.S. farmers to efficiently produce the food, the feed, the fiber that is needed to meet global demand.
Vilsack, who helped announce the Climate Smart program kickoff, says that this helps put profit back into farmers' pockets and power into consumers' hands.
There's a critical opportunity for more income opportunities for farmers in all of this, and the world is demanding more sustainable products across the board. The game's changing. Farming is no longer about what food is produced, it's also about how food is produced. We know that American farmers are uniquely positioned to take advantage of this demand by creating new markets, markets for climate smart commodities that can both achieve benefits for farmers, ranchers, and producers of all sized operations, and also for the environment. And as you know, we're investing over $3 billion to help kickstart these markets through our Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities initiative.
The Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association visited Washington, D. this week and asked lawmakers for flexible CRP program options in case of future drought. Minnesota Cattlemen's President Jake Thompson of Barnesville said grazing CRP can be a helpful management practice.
CRP is kind of one of the foremost when it comes to the Farm Bill. Maybe trying to get a little bit of revamp of that system, making sure that during those times of need or drought that we have that CRP available to us. We ran into that a few summers ago, especially with the guys further to the north. Where some of the practices became ineligible when we moved from a D2 to D3 drought stage. And we want to make sure that doesn't happen again when the opportunity is here now. We also are asking maybe to hopefully see that they recognize grazing as a management practice on CRP.
The cattlemen also discussed the status of the gray wolf.
Of course, wolves is always a hot topic. Kind of go and ask where we're sitting, how's everybody agreeing, is there something that we can look at revamping the endangered species list and making sure that, that's a 50-year-old program too. Can we look at doing something with that is going to be more regional and more specific to species So like what happened to Grey Wolf here when some judge in California decided that there was a small pocket in Wyoming, didn't have their population all the way to the level that they were hoping for, that you just put a whole blanket across the country and put all the gray wolves back on the endangered species list. So,
paid family leave legislation continues to work through the House and Senate in Minnesota. Representative Deb Keel of Kirsten says this could have harsh consequences on rural Minnesota, as finding employees is already a struggle.
It doesn't matter whether I'm employing somebody on the farm or the nursing home is employing somebody, but paid medical leave for our schools, our cities, it is going to cost us a lot of tax dollars to cover that. And the reality is, when somebody has maternity leave, or let's say a family was ill and they're home taking care of a loved one, we don't have the employees to go replace that person that worked. So either business owners themselves are just working 24 hours a day to keep things moving, or they have to close their doors.
And while Keel says this would be great for employees to have this kind of benefit, implementing this legislation would be difficult to implement in small rural communities.
It's not that we don't want our employees to have that ability to stay home with their children, but it just is going to cost us as taxpayers as well as our businesses. And in rural Minnesota, losing Main Street businesses is really seriously a problem for us. You know, getting parts, getting groceries, just basic everyday things. So whether it's healthcare or the groceries, it's going to be a problem.
The ethanol industry is asking the Biden administration to allow sustainable aviation fuels made from ethanol to benefit from funding in the Inflation Reduction Act. Administration has already placed a target of 3 billion gallons of sustainable aviation fuel by 2030 to fight climate change. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Walsh County Extension Agent Brad Brummond announced his retirement after 41 years in Extension. Brummond worked extensively in soil health and dry bean production during his time in Extension and says tight rotations are the biggest challenge for producers.
It depends upon the year. We are either number one or two, depending upon what Grand Forks plant. So we have a lot of dry beans. We raise a lot of them. They're a good crop in Walsh County. The problem that we have is we raise them too tight. We've got a lot of soil-borne disease in our dry bean acres, simply because we have closed down our acres and our rotations. So one of my first great challenges is try to encourage rotation and try to show producers the yield they were losing. Because when you see root diseases, you don't always see it because it's a silent stealer. You just wake up, but pretty soon there's no yield. The plants are stunned, and you wonder why.
Brummond says below-ground pathogens can sneak up on producers and steal yields.
You have to dig up the plants, and you look at the roots. And there's no roots. They're all rotted off. We have several pathogens that go to these roots. And it really, there are some fields where I feel we lose 300-400 pounds an acre, and some are worse. So my goal has always been to try to educate people on the value of trying to break that cycle and trying to move away from that. My next greatest mission in the dry bean world, and the one that I'm probably most known for, is conservation.
Checking markets before we leave you. May wheat Minneapolis down 33.5 cents. Chicago May wheat's down 15. Kansas City down 19.25. May corn's down 14.25 at 627.25. December down 12 at 531.5. May soybeans down 13.75 at 1422.25. November down 10.5 at 1256.25. May canola is $8.20 a metric ton higher at 763.20 Canadian. June live cattle up 47 cents. The May feeder cattle are up 92 cents, and June lean hogs down 35 cents. Thanks for joining us. Have a great afternoon. This is the Red River Farm Network.